This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski. Welcome to the Draft Prospect Review Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's the last Draft Prospect Review Podcast before the actual draft. We have the PFW writers in here, Paul Perillo, Eric Scalvino, and Andy Hart. What's going on today, guys, as you prepare for the draft?
Well, Lori, it's a beautiful day outside. And we're reaching, as I said last week, the meat and potatoes of our lead into the draft. It's already started. Jake Long is already a Dolphin. St. Louis Rams sort of on the clock, although they can't actually negotiate, I guess.
Yeah.
But I guess
they're talking about that's kind of strange.
Yeah, the league seems like it's making up the rules as they go along here a little bit. But anyway, back to the Patriots. We have defensive backs today. Probably the biggest need on the team with linebacker. But the question here at this position is, are there any players worthy of being selected in the top 7, 10, 12 picks? A lot of people believe even the top corner available, whoever you might think that is, and that's another argument, might only be worthy of a mid-teens type pick and beyond. But we'll start with cornerback. We'll look at those, and we'll sort of touch on free safety and strong safety, although by all accounts a sort of a weak year at the safety spots. Our friends at NFL Draft Scout have approximately 30 to 35 players being selected over the course of the weekend at corner. They rank Troy's Leotis McKelvin as the top corner, but also in that mix, depending on who you ask, Mike Jenkins out of South Florida, Dominic Rogers Cromartie, Tennessee State, another small school guy, our friend, Tom Casale's favorite, Antoine Kaysan out of Arizona, and Aqib Talib is an interesting prospect because some people thought going into the combine he was the top corner. Mel Kiper is still a very big fan. I actually watched some stuff last night with he and Todd McShay sort of debating Aqib Talib, and sounds like McShay's on the side that he's overrated and could be a second or third round pick. But I'll start by just saying, first of all, Leotis McKelvin I have no interest in. Paul Perillo's knows why. I went to the Troy football program, which had pictures of players on the cover for last season, not one of them. And now all of a sudden he's a top 15 pick.
Yeah.
Guy had four career picks at Troy.
Excellent interest.
Return, man. Oh, great.
Great return specialist, but you're not
drafting him. Yeah, he thinks he's Devin Hester. I'm not so sure he's Devin Hester, but
if you take him at 7 or in the top 10, you know, if you're a team that has a need at cornerback and you're taking him, you're not taking him because he's a great return specialist.
Right.
You take him because you think he's a great corner. I have my doubts about whether he's a great corner, not just because of like what you said, but given the competition he had to face at that school.
Right. And everybody points to, well, Troy's had some good players.
They have.
Yeah, they've all been defensive linemen, outside linebackers.
And they've all been superstars at Troy for more than
that. See, that's the part of it.
Yeah,
that's
I bet
part of
those
it
guys
on
were
board.
On the media guide.
I'm on board with you on that because, and Tom always brings up the case that once in a while you'll see a game for Troy on TV. I think on those Thursday night games they were on a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Tom watches every one of those games, and he can't remember really hearing a lot about Leotis McKelvin. When DeMarcus Ware played 3 years ago, that's all you heard when you watched a Troy game. So I think there's a little something to your whole program. I think it's, you know,
he's come out
it's
of
ridiculous in theory, but I think the basis behind it probably isn't that
Let's
far
be honest.
Off.
If an SID is putting one of those together,
they may be as surprised as anyone that he's as highly regarded as he
if
is.
If there's
right
a
now.
Chance the guy's going to be on the NFL radar at a place like Troy, they're promoting him. They're trying to get that name out there. That carries the school, helps lift it into prominence.
Even if
he wasn't.
Even if he's not an NFL caliber player, if he's the best, one of the best players on your team,
they had
he goes
six or eight
the
guys
cover.
On there. He wasn't one of them.
Right.
I don't like it.
And, you know, what's strange, too, is I totally agree with you, Andy, that I'm not sure that there's a top 15 or maybe top 12 cornerback in the draft, but there's probably four or five first rounders.
Right.
And, you know, it's a pretty deep crop of cornerbacks, and some people talked about Baltimore really badly needing a corner at 8, and if they can't get in line to get Ryan, maybe they take one a little higher. Buffalo at 11 is another one that I heard Adam Schefter talking about today might take one. But you know, with Jenkins and McKelvin and Talib and Cromartie, and then all the way down to Tom's boy Kaysan, all five of those guys could go in the first round without anybody making really a surprise pick.
Yeah, no question. A guy on the next level, and there is, again, another chunk of guys expected to go in the second to third round. You could see a dozen guys in the first two rounds, first day of the draft, come off at corner. So it'll be interesting to see You know, they always talk about runs on draft day, and once somebody takes the first one, well, now I got to make the run and get my guy who, you know, I might have as one but is still on the board. A guy I'm intrigued by is USC's Tyrell Thomas.
Yes. I love him.
I thought he was very impressive on tape. Obviously, we know he played in a very good defensive scheme with Pete Carroll, a pro scheme.
Against quality competition.
I think he's a guy that...
I love the way he played. He was man-to-man a lot on the film that we watched. He was aggressive in...
Everything about it.
There was no cushion there. He looked like he had a purpose, but, you know,
and
especially
thing,
in the red zone, I thought he was
a
really
little bigger
aggressive
than what Patriots fans have seen at cornerback of late. He comes in at about 6'1", 202. That's a little... You know, you think of Ellis Hobbs. Mm-hmm. Even Asante Samuel is probably 6 feet. Ty Law is under 6 feet. I don't know that they've had a big successful corner they brought in here.
We should mention that there's a rumor. One of the Boston TV stations last night reported that
Butch Stearns, Fox 25.
Yeah, my colleague on Sunday mornings. Thank you, Andy.
I'm not sure you want to tie yourself to that ship.
He's saying that the Ty Law signing is close.
Yes,
he reported it as being close last night.
But
the
that
Patriots.
doesn't
mean it's going to happen.
That
it
was
you know,
totally taken
and
out
it
of
also
context.
Doesn't necessarily change a lot.
Oh right? No, it does. I don't think it changes
he's
a thing
here
in
for
terms
a year,
of the draft.
Maybe two.
I don't
might
think it changes a thing
play
for the draft.
You still have a major need there for a young, good quality corner to start developing to become the next Asante Samuel or top level corner. So. You know, I think that's still a need, whether Ty Law is here or not. You guys got any sleepers or other guys you'd like to highlight here, some of the possibilities?
Cornerback, I kind of like Tracy Porter of Indiana.
Okay.
He showed me some pretty good quickness on the film that we were able to see. He played aggressive, which I like, but not out of control aggressive, you know, taking too many chances.
I thought he looked like Ellis Hobbs, too.
I did, too.
It could have been him.
And I thought he had that kind of speed where guys got behind him occasionally, but he closed well. Hmm. And I'm not sure that's necessarily a technique you want to be showing at the Big Ten level and
also
try to go to the NFL. But
enjoy celebrating.
From the skills point of view, and I definitely agree from the physical appearance point of view, I did see a lot of Ellis Hobbs.
Paul, you got anybody else? Brandon Flowers is a guy that got
Brandon
the Andy
Flowers,
Hart up arrow.
I thought you guys didn't like him. Brandon Flowers,
it seems like everybody else doesn't.
Yeah, I did like him. I like those Virginia Tech guys. I like the way they play. They play with a chip on they're like high-level guys that kind of were spurned by the real traditional programs, and they seem to play with a chip on their shoulder. I kind of like the way Brandon Flowers played. Beyond that, I didn't think really much of any of the one guy, you know, who's injured is the kid from Wisconsin. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Jack is like Ikewanu. Is that how you pronounce his name? He's injured. I really liked his video, but he's kind of in limbo right now. He tore his ACL in January in his bowl game. So his availability, I mean, he was scheduled to be like a fifth or sixth round pick.
There were reports that he was telling teams he was going to sit out the year and
I'm not
all
sure.
These weird...
I liked him on video, but I'm not sure that you know, he's a guy that's going to factor into the 2008 plan for anybody.
There's one other player I thought stood out a little
bit. Don't steal my guy.
I might. He didn't wow me with everything, but he seemed solid in every aspect, and that was Reggie Smith of Oklahoma.
I know. You're not stealing that.
There's one guy that I liked. I'll let you say it first.
Chuck Godfrey?
Yeah.
Chuck. Iowa?
I was going to go with Charles, but...
Yeah, I call him
he's
Chuck.
He's on
I didn't know you guys were that close, but
we've together a few times. I worked him out a little bit.
I'm sure
but,
you did.
But, you know, a pipeline guy, we always look for those connections with schools, with Belichick's, obviously the Kirk Ferentz, but... Looks good on tape to me. Apparently has some versatility. I know Mel Kiper's high on him, thinks he could play some safety if he's not capable of playing corner at the NFL level. Has played a little safety in college. So, you know, that versatility never hurts a guy coming into the Patriots system. But, you know, I fully expect the Patriots to draft at least one corner, maybe two over draft weekend, probably one in the first couple picks there. I'd be surprised if they go past the third round and don't have a new corner on the team out of this crop. So.
One guy out of all of these, you know, maybe the top six, seven, eight, ten guys that you like the least?
Aqib Talib.
For me, it would be Justin King.
Oh, yeah. I don't like him
Penn
either.
State.
But not based on anything I saw. It's when he told me he's never been asked to backpedal in his life. They shuffle, and he's going to have to learn to backpedal. Usually it's a red flag when guys have a bad backpedal or a little high in their backpedal come out. He's never done it, so how are we going
to
know?
The only thing I saw positive on him, and when we watch these guys on tape, you don't get to – cornerback is a tough one to evaluate for the video that we get because you don't actually see the guy break off the line.
Right,
you don't see exactly how it happens. All you see is really the end result. But he played the deep ball pretty well on some of the plays that I watched. But I didn't – I don't know. I didn't think he was very tight in his coverage. It looked like there was a big big cushion there. And
that's part of the problem, as Bill always talks about with receivers, but it flips to the defense. When you say receivers, you don't have a lot of tape of them running the intermediate routes. It means you don't have a lot of tape of corners covering intermediate routes. And it's one thing for a guy to just turn and sprint down the field to make sure he doesn't get beat for an 80-yard touchdown. But what if the guy breaks it off for a 15-yard out? How does he react to that? You don't see a lot of those from the receivers, so you don't have a lot of tape of the corners.
That was one thing I would say about McKelvin. We talked about how we thought he was a better returner than anything we saw. I thought he was a physical player and tackled really well. He wasn't against the run, wasn't afraid to get up there and stick his nose in there. So I think those small school guys are such great athletes that you kind of think of them as real finesse players, right. But he didn't really look like a finesse player to me.
And I will just say quick, before we move on quickly to the safeties, DRC is, I think, the most intriguing guy.
Athleticism off the charts. Yeah.
And people say he fell through the cracks because he moved around in high school, went to four or five different high schools. That's how he ended up at Tennessee State and, really started to come on the radar Senior Bowl week and all that. All I know is physically he can do it. I don't know if he can play corner in the National Football League, and that's why I'd be scared to draft him. But he's got the tools, and lineage is a big word this week. He's cousins with
Antonio Cromartie.
Yeah, he thinks. He found out last year, or he paid him off to help rise his draft stock. But anyway, that's for a different show. That's PFW in Progress banter. Safeties, free safety, strong safety. You add them together, about another 30 players that play the safety position could go on draft weekend, according to NFL Draft Scout. A down year. Kenny Phillips out of Miami, really the only possible first-round pick by most accounts as a free safety, although I thought he was a really physical player.
Yeah,
I thought he played like a strong safety.
Hard-hitting guy.
Maybe at the pro level you
consider him. The very first word
free.
I wrote was physical, and I was surprised when he was listed with the free safety.
Right, so he's a guy. Other than that, you're looking at second, third-round picks. I will say, I don't know if it's DeJuan or DeJuan Morgan out of North Carolina State, I loved, and Tom and I joked about this. I feel like every time I watch that defense, I like a guy that I watch on that defense.
I liked him a lot, too.
I was very impressed with his tape.
I thought he showed as much range as any of the guys
that
question. We watched.
I thought he had the total package. So he's listed as a second-round pick. I think he'd be an interesting prospect. And there is some versatility. I mean, there's nothing to say the Patriots don't draft a safety like that and say, well, Brandon Merriweather's now a corner.
What'd you think of Simeon Castile?
Simeon Castile solid. Ball. Let's see what I said.
He did a lot of things decently.
I think he's a cornerback playing safety.
Yeah.
Does a decent job playing the run. Decent ball skills. Solid tackler. Nothing wowed me, but I thought a solid player.
Yeah. I mean, like a fourth-round guy, according to NFL Draft Scout, and I think that's
four to five.
What I saw.
I have a question for you. Where do our friends at NFL Draft Scout have UTEP's Quentin Demps listed? Because I was pretty impressed with what I saw.
Third round.
The third free safety they have listed.
I thought he showed pretty good instincts playing back there. He was very tough, physical player.
Another one I thought was, I agree with you, Eric. I thought he was very aggressive.
Oh, yeah. He got a big up arrow from Andy Hart.
Well, so now you're validated. As long as Andy has the up arrow with you, you're all set.
Right. That's the key.
And Andy's up and down arrows are different than your normal up and
down
arrows.
Right, and he had to explain that in depth yesterday on the blog, which is now up and running, by the way.
Yes,
you can check out our draft blog on PFW.
I did put all my up and down arrows from offensive players yesterday. You will read, in fact, Quentin Demps today when I do the up and down arrows for the defensive players.
And don't be confused, folks, because when Andy gives it an up arrow, that does, in fact, mean that he thinks it's a good player on the way up.
Well, no. It also it's relative to where he's projected to go. That's what you're missing here.
You get so mad.
Because you guys don't get it. All right, let's move on to strong safeties.
Do we have to?
Yes.
Thought we were done.
Well, there's not that many to get through. Tom Zbikowski, a guy who everybody loved last year.
Had a good lead right.
Yes, could be, as Tom Casale say, his future might be mixed martial arts more than football.
Yeah.
Punt returner, I didn't think had great range playing on defense. Isn't overly big. 5'11", 2'11". I just don't know where he fits at the pro level.
He's just one of those guys that made a ton of plays.
Right.
Now, I don't know. I agree. He might just be one of those college guys.
It's because he was a good guy.
And we know him really well because he played at Notre Dame.
Right.
But I'm not sure. I did have someone in the organization last week, not someone involved in personnel or anything like that, but someone within the organization told me how much he really, really liked this guy. Not at all. I couldn't stress enough. Not a guy who was involved in any kind of draft preparation or anything like that. But just something to keep an eye on. Tom Zbikowski is a guy that can play the game. He's a football player.
Sure.
He knows how to play.
Played all four years.
I'd hate if he was a golfer.
But I agree with Andy. I'm not sure that there's a spot for him.
What else you got?
He might not have an up arrow.
He, in fact, does not. He has a right arrow.
Okay.
Okay, so
which is
moving laterally. He's lateral.
Not much.
Making movement, but not in the right direction.
Also got a right arrow from
treading water,
Craig
so
Stelz out of LSU. I kind of like him, but I think he's topped out. I'm not sure he really translates. I think he's a backup safety at the NFL level, play some special teams, come in, help you some, but not a playmaker, starting safety.
Did a lot of
guy.
Different things on his on his film. But
to me, he's like Hester. I think they're the same guy. Yeah. One's on offense, one's on defense.
Yeah.
The thing that stood out to me watching his film was, remember former wide receiver Chris Carter, Minnesota Vikings?
Yep.
All he does, catch touchdowns. Watching Craig Stelz, I'm thinking, all he does, catch interceptions.
Intercept the ball.
Yeah.
Good hands is what I wrote.
I wrote scrappy. Scrappy little player. But I'm not sure he's...
Is that another one you're going to offend with that kind of terminology?
Scrappy little player?
Scrappy little player.
Welker's a scrappy little player. He's a nice little player. Anyway, defensive backs, safeties, corners. Patriots will draft some this weekend. It all starts Saturday after... Well, I guess it already started, sort of, Jake Long. But Saturday at 3, all the other teams can get in on the party. Lots going on. Jared Allen traded to the Minnesota Vikings for a ridiculous price of a first-round pick, two-thirds, a swapping of six.
And $70
million. The Vikings handed him $70 million with $31,000,000 guaranteed. Just unbelievable. The Miami Dolphins reportedly trying to get back in the first round to get Chad Henne. New York Jets reportedly trading up to number two, potentially, for Darren McFadden. The Raiders in love with Vernon Golston. The
Saints,
Patriots, who knows?
The Saints,
want to
get up
to trade up.
Number 10.
I thought Parcells loved what he saw in John Beck.
Parcells lies. He knows, like I know, that John Beck is the only player in the history of Andy Hart's draft evaluations to get a double down arrow.
And just in case you were wondering, Eric,
that means
on the way down, double.
Interestingly,
down.
I didn't hear these rumors about Parcells looking for another quarterback until I posted my blog entry yesterday referencing John Beck and the double down arrow. So maybe he's been reading, realized he doesn't have a quarterback, scrambling
PFW's
to get back
blog.
Into round
yeah, I'm
one.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Of course, if he had kept reading, I gave Chad Henne a down arrow as well. So I don't know what he's doing down there.
Maybe he was confused by your evaluation.
All right. Can we put a tent on this circus? Wrap it up. We've gone through all the positions. We are ready for draft weekend. The Patriots will be on the clock at number 7, assuming they don't trade the pick between now and then. If not, they'll have many more picks lower in the draft. What all Patriots fans want to get the depth rather than the big money, high-priced boom or bust prospect. Speaking of booms and busts, back to Lori.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys. Why don't you tell them where they can actually find out about the draft on the day of the draft?
Patriots.com. We will have PFW in Progress live 3 to 6 on Saturday.
There you go.
Noon to 3 on Sunday. We'll be blogging the PFW in Progress PFW blog. We will have updates, analysis,
video.
Press conferences, video, bios. Everything that Chris Ferreira can possibly muster up will be on Patriots.com. It'll be your Patriots Draft Central.
Thought you were going to say mess
forget
up.
Forget NFL Network. Forget ESPN. They don't have anything on us. We have the humor. We have the analysis. We have Bill Belichick Live. We have it all.
And
we
wrap
have
it up
boomer bust
next
prospects.
Next Wednesday with another draft prospect review.
That'll be a bust.
And maybe we'll see if we can
wrap it up.
Why don't you effort to see if you can get one of your draft
we'll have
picks
an,
for us.
We'll have an analyst on next week.
Maybe the Ranger.
Just us blowhards.
We have the Ross Report as well to wrap everything up.
Yes, the roster report. We got it all here at Patriots.com. Fred Kirsch's little media empire is just continuing to grow, and it's endless like this
kinda
podcast.
Like me, Gary's hair.
All right, thanks, guys. Join us next time. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.